Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
I had this debt, and I just was trying to almost get that quick fix. There's a lot of women, at least that have reached out to me, that have been like sloths all day, every day. And it got worse as I kept losing. He said, "What's wrong?" And I said, "Money." And he was like, "What about it?" And I just like broke down.
Today's guest is Marissa S. Her story is incredibly unique because she also started to share her story online on TikTok. As a woman in recovery, she runs into some different challenges than myself. But before we get started, I have one favor to ask from you. There's so many of you that watch the channel regularly, but you're not yet subscribed. So if you do me the favor of hitting that subscribe button, then my promise to you is that in return, I will work hard every single day to spread the message that gambling addiction is real, but recovery is also real.
My gambling addiction lasted for a year and a half. And the way that it started was during the Super Bowl, I was on my phone doing one of those like DraftKings, like $5, you get like $200 in bonus bets and whatever, and get to play the slot games. And I'm just sitting there while the Super Bowl is on, not paying attention, but just being completely silent. My boyfriend and his friend are like, "What are you doing? Like, are you okay?" And I was like, "Yeah, like I just won $800. This is so exciting. This is great. This is going to be my new side hustle." So that was really how I framed it. I was already in debt for just other reasons, not being the best with money, not knowing the difference between a credit and a debit card until later on in life, and not being raised to be financially secure. So I'm always looking for a side hustle. And unfortunately, I found one that put me right back where I started, into deeper debt.
So where you're from, are you a Philadelphia sports fan or a New York sports fan?
Philadelphia.
So the Super Bowl in question, is that one that we were in, or is that a different one?
It was interesting. It was not the Eagles.
I'm trying to get to the root of it, right? So you see the commercials for the Bet 5, Win 200, and you go and sign up. It was motivated financially, or was it motivated because you really like sports, or maybe a mixture of the two?
Oh, no, it was just because I had this debt that my boyfriend was made aware of at the time, and I just was trying to almost get that quick fix to be able to pay it off and not even do sports betting. I don't know how to sports bet, which I think a lot of women can relate to. And I think that a lot of men don't think women gamble because they just think it is sports betting. But in reality, there's a lot of women, at least that have reached out to me, that have been like slots all day, every day.
That's been what I've seen as well. And so, like, I was actually going to say, I'm not typically used to hearing a lot of women that get involved in sports betting, though they are out there. That is the truth. And I know I saw recently that you, so you started posting your story on TikTok and sharing it with the world. And recently you got some feedback about being a woman, and the fact that you developed a gambling problem is unwomanly, is I believe what they said. So I know we're going to be diving into that later on after we hear more of your story. But, you know, just to stop on that point, like, being a woman in recovery from gambling probably provides a lot more challenge, or at least different challenges, than it would for a man in recovery. Mm-hmm. What have some of those been early on?
I think, and this is actually interesting, and I wonder if there is some like scientific research that can be backed up about it. But when a woman is on her cycle and her hormones are out of whack, she's craving that dopamine. So even when it's like a couple of days near her cycle, I remember Christina said to me, like, watch out to see what your mood is like and see if you have any urges to like fix any situation, whether it be financial or like physical or mental, whatever it is. And looking back, right before my cycle was always when I would go on these like rage spends of finding some online sweeps app, downloading it on my phone, and just continuing to use Apple Pay to purchase free coins, whatever the heck they're called. It was almost like an outer body experience. And it only was really erratic during that time of the month, every single month. And it got worse as I kept losing. It's interesting to see how that's been affecting me, because now that I'm 44 days no betting, that's been about two cycles that I've gone through, and I've been trying to track my mood and the urges. And something interesting happened last night in terms of triggers. I'm in the process of planning a wedding. That obviously comes with a huge financial responsibility. My fiance and I were talking about everything. I am currently going into my cycle, and he was saying something about a deposit. And then I was like, okay, well, you know that I don't have the money because of my gambling debt. I stopped myself because I was like, this would be a situation where I would download an app and start gambling.
To see it as the quick financial solution to the problem.
Yep. And it doesn't help that he's in Vegas right now for work. And I almost wanted to be like, you go, but that would not be good at all either. But when he was like, do you want to come with me? I was like, not a good idea.
Sure. And that's probably a good decision. That's a weird kind of line to walk, especially for him, I would imagine, of he's wanting to bring you on a trip and spend time with you. But it's to like one of the few places that would be terrible to go. But it's like the intentions were probably really good behind the intention.
And then he was like, yeah, I got here and, you know, I got to the hotel and I realized what I had to walk through. And, you know, I'm glad you're not here.
Well, I'm glad it worked out in that sense. Yeah. But that's a very interesting challenge that arises that I obviously have solution for. So I think that it's good to talk about. I don't know if anyone does.
I think it's just like a huge part of what I've been doing is just self-reflection and really trying to be mindful of what I'm feeling and when I'm feeling it and why I'm feeling a certain way, and almost just like stopping, looking at myself in the mirror and being like, why do I feel the need to gamble because of like what's going on right now? Yeah, I think that self-reflection mixed with the accountability aspect of telling, you know, my fiance, which was the hardest thing in the world to keep inside. And I think that was, I look back and I hate that I did that, because telling him was the first step in the right direction for me. So the accountability, self-reflection and mindfulness, and then just like keeping busy, I feel like are like the three biggest things that I attribute to my success this time around. I've tried to stop so many times.
Those are the exact things that I typically harp on. I mean, packaged in a different way, but it's the same couple of things. It's like when we have these urges to gamble, we have to put some space between the thought and the action. The way that you do that is to slow down, become accountable, reflect, share with others. So you're doing awesome, and I'm really happy that you're here and we're sharing this story. When did you tell your fiance? Do you remember? Maybe it was about 2 months ago.
Mm-hmm. Right before, so I told him Memorial Day weekend. It was a Sunday. We had gotten back from dinner with his family, and I was just like sitting on the bed, and I was like, he said, "What's wrong?" And I said, "Money." And he was like, what about it? And I just like broke down. I was like, I have to tell you something. I kind of like breadcrumbed some of it as it was going, but he thought that I was just gambling with like free chips because I told him that I lied. And I was like, yeah, I had a big win back in May of 2024 and that paid off my debt. And then I lost it all again, which happens. And that's what I was keeping from him, that I lost all that money. I ran out of the room to tell him I got out of debt and now I'm back in it. I felt so much shame. And I also was like, I also can't stop doing this. This is horrible. And the reason why I can't stop doing it is because I want to fix it.
I understand. So essentially, in your story, you started gambling to try to earn some money to pay off debts. You gambled for a couple months, got that win that paid off the debts. And then between that point and about 2 months ago, you reaccumulated the debt from gambling this time?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Let's talk through that timeline. So you get the big win. I imagine it's a casino game of some kind?
Yeah, it was a slot game.
A slot game. So you get the big win. Do you immediately pay off everything? Like, what's the process like following?
Yeah, that? I cashed out. I said I never have to play a casino game again. LOL, that's a big joke. And I remember I had to like cash out two different ways. Then the money got into my account. I paid off the credit cards. I felt good for maybe like one day.
And then what were the thoughts that were kind of creeping up following that feeling of feeling good? Like, all right, so you paid everything off, pressure's off, you can breathe again. Then what kind of thoughts start to creep in?
Well, if I did this once, I'm a shoo-in for another win, you know, like those lies that we tell ourselves. So I played on this one, but now I downloaded this app and I'm a new user and they want me to win. Like, it's crazy. The mind games that you play with yourself to try to make it seem like it's okay to do what you're doing. The whole gambling industry is such a scam. In fact, I keep on getting all these emails saying like that each of these sweepstakes casinos is no longer allowed in the state of New Jersey. And I get so happy every single time. I think I get one every single day and I'm like, yes.
Yeah. They'll shut down anything that's not giving them the proper tax revenue. That's what they'll do. Not that they're protecting anyone, but if it's not paying them, then no one's getting paid.
Good.
Is according to them. Good. But so when you redeposit following that big win, this is something that I used to do that I'm curious to see if you did. Were the initial bets that you were placing smaller?
Yeah, they would like creep up. So it would start at like $1, and then like the one time that when I won very big, it was off of like a $25 bet, which is like so crazy to think about. Like, I had no problem doing that, but then I go to the grocery store and I get so upset when eggs are $10. I had no problem tapping a button with a 50% chance that nothing good was going to come from it.
More than that. But yeah, you know, the reason that I phrased the question that way is because when I would have wins, what I would often tell myself is like, okay, just don't do that same thing again. Don't put yourself in that situation again. So just bet a little less this time, because then you'll be able to keep it under control. Did you have the mindset that you could kind of control it this time?
Yeah, like just $100. What's $100? And then all of a sudden my paycheck's gone. Like, or I'm using a credit card, or like, you know, I mean, I'm fortunate enough that I didn't borrow from my fiance or anyone for that matter. I just borrowed from myself and put myself in the situation.
Well, there's positives in that for sure, because the real damage that gets done from this addiction isn't the money. It's the relationships that can be damaged. So I'm really happy to hear that you've gotten to the point now where you're confident in your recovery, where you're not doing the bad things that I ended up doing. So that's awesome.
You know, it's so interesting. So my brother and my mom struggle with addiction. My brother has been sober from alcohol for 15 years, and my mom has been sober from alcohol but I think it's been like 6 years. I know that I'm not an alcoholic and I'm not a drug addict. So it was almost like I just needed to give my self-sabotage and be like, what other addiction could I find to mess up my life? Because I need to feel part of the family. But my brother was, aside from my fiance, was the second person that I told about this. And it was because I knew that he would be able to relate. And also, he had recently expressed to me that he was in debt and he was doing fine with money for a while. And he gets locked into his phone with sports betting and fantasy leagues and stuff. So,
want to make a difference in your community, but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously, your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
I kind of like had a itch that he was doing it. And obviously he was super supportive. But the reason why I'm telling you this is because that day he said he self-excluded from, he lives in Florida. So the only place that he could bet is the Hard Rock. And he self-excluded for 5 years.
Oh, that's awesome for him.
Because of me. So I was like, okay, that's good. And then eventually he was like, you should tell mom. Like, I know that you're scared, but she'll take it better than you think. And it was like a 5-minute conversation. She was like, oh, okay. Like, how you doing now? Like, fine. But it's just so scary to hold it all in and think that people are going to have such a bad reaction. And then you're harming yourself more keeping it in.
If you're gambling starting to feel less like fun and more like stress, trust me, you're not alone. Millions of us know what it's like to say, just one more bet, or feel that urge that's really difficult to explain to someone else. That's why I'm so excited to tell you about the sponsor of today's video, Evive. Think of it as having a recovery companion right in your pocket. Someone that knows exactly what you're going through. No lectures, no pressure, just genuine support without judgment. Right when you need it. If you download Evive right now, you'll get guaranteed free access through 2026. Not a trial or some limited version, but the entire platform. Because Evive believes that anyone that's out there that's struggling should get the support that they need. Download Evive today and take the first step towards redefining your relationship to gambling. Evive is only available in select countries. Check the description of this video to download now. And I think we suffer more in our heads than we do when we actually say it. But this is really interesting to me because a lot of the negative feedback that I get online and probably a good amount that you get is kind of centered around this idea that a gambling addiction is a moral failure. It's you messed up. You're blaming everyone else. You're a bad gambler. Everyone else can do whatever they want to do, right? So when you go to someone who is in recovery from alcohol, that is kind of just the societally accepted thing to be addicted to, how did they treat a gambling addiction? What was their initial response? I guess it's probably a little easier because your brother was in a position to self-exclude. Maybe we focus on the conversation with your mom. Did she see it as serious an issue as her alcohol?
Well, she said it's the easiest thing to hide. Mm. And my brother said that too. My brother even said, he said, I never knew, or I would have never known. And it's so true. Because I walk around here in my apartment complex and I'm like, no one knows. No one knows except for my fiance. That's the only person here that knows, because you can just swallow your pride, swallow all the money that you just lost, and get out of the bathroom and then just move on with your day. And my brother said to me that he was in recovery at rehab with some guy who did have a gambling addiction. And he's like, he disappeared somewhere. I don't even know where he is to this day. Mm-hmm. But he was like a great guy, you know, had a really good career, but he stole a bunch of money from the company. And you just would never know. So I think that's, you're right. People are so quick to judge that, but addiction itself is a disease. Mm-hmm. And my fiance at one point, he was like very busy with work and he was frustrated. And he said to me, like, things started getting bad when you, like, the timing of when you told me about this wasn't good. And I was like, okay, let's take a step back here. Would you rather, I mean, this was me being petty, but I was like, oh, so should I not have told you? Which obviously wasn't the right thing to say. But I said to him, I said, addiction is a disease. There would be no right time for me to tell you that I had cancer or something.
That's true.
And he was like, point taken. Yeah. I'm very sorry for what I said before.
It's good to have those open lines of communication and to kind of, you know, get that extra reflection. And because, you know, initial reactions are tough with this. I remember telling my family specifically, and this was like way before I actually ended up quitting, but telling them like, hey, I gambled too much. I have a problem with it. And just the anger and the disappointment was really tough, but that's the only way it actually got better for me. And so right. It leads me into the question of like, how are you and your fiance handling finances heading into the marriage?
So he actually right now, he gets half of my paycheck every single, I get paid biweekly. So he gets half of it. The other half goes to me to pay off, like the debt consolidation plan that I'm in. So some of that money goes towards rent and groceries, and then obviously towards a savings account. Mm-hmm. And then I don't use credit cards anymore. So if there is ever anything to be purchased, I ask him first and I use his credit card. So, you know, I feel like I'm being watched a little bit. I do have to talk to him a little when there are expenses. He's like, what is this from? And then I tell him and he's like, oh, okay, that's fine. It's what I need. It's that accountability piece. Yeah. And he's not micromanaging me with it, but I also feel good that, you know, I posted another TikTok this past week that I paid off my credit card, or my debt consolidation after receiving my paycheck and still had a little bit of money left, but chose not to gamble with it. And that was like the first time in a while that I wasn't in overdraft.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah. It wasn't much, but still, like, that's a win.
Absolutely. And when I first quit, like, I did a very similar thing. I actually lit my credit cards on fire, which was dramatic, but I don't know. I'm a dramatic person. But I had my mom managing my bank account, and I felt like, oh, I have to get everything approved. This sucks so bad, so controlling. I hate it. But then I started to not be in debt, and I started to not gamble. And I was like, I still hate it, but it's working, so I won't complain about it too much. And it was like that. And then after a while, that wasn't necessary anymore, and hopefully you reached that point as well. But it sounds bad without the context, but with the context, it's super helpful stuff.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's like, that's not a conversation that I'm going to bring up at the dinner table with people. Like, yeah, like my fiance handles all of my finances and I have to ask him when I can make a purchase. People are going to be like, you're in a financially abusive relationship. No, I'm not. I actually abused my own finances and that's why I'm here.
Fair enough. Yeah. It's just something that's like, people will think whatever they want to think, especially online, which brings us to the next point of conversation. You decided to share your story on TikTok. You're making posts every single day about your recovery from a gambling addiction. Why did you do it? What's the response been? And how is it impacting your recovery?
Yeah. So first, the account didn't even talk about gambling. I wanted to do like a faceless pay off my debt journey type thing. And then I wasn't motivated by it. Nothing was really happening. And I still at that point hadn't said anything to my fiance. So it was almost like that day that I said something to him, then I was like, I'm going to pivot this TikTok because I saw that guy when I was early on in my addiction and I wanted to quit and I saw what he's doing. And it seems like if somebody like me is looking for that, a lot of other people probably are too. So I just kind of ripped the Band-Aid off. And I saw that there weren't many women on TikTok. There's a couple, but a lot of them are in the UK. I guess the other ones in America aren't very consistent of what they're posting. I didn't expect it to kind of blow up like it did. It was more so the accountability. I was doing it for myself because I'm the type of person where if I'm going to commit to something, I can't let myself down. So me posting each day was holding me accountable to myself and also to the people that started following me. I remember within the first week, there was a woman who messaged me. She was like, "Your videos resonate with me so much. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to quit." And she said, like, online was my poison. And I said, "You should email each of the places and say that you need to self-exclude because you have a problem." I put something into ChatGPT and like emailed her or sent her in TikTok like what to email. And I said this is what worked for me because first you have to be very specific with them or they won't close your account. And I didn't hear from her until like a couple days later, and she was like, "Thank you so much. I sent those emails. I handed my finances over to my son." Now she messages me every single day with how many days clean she is.
That's awesome. I've been surprised, at just the wide range of opinions on this topic, and it really varies. I don't know that it's a stereotype's the right word, but depending on where people are from, their perception of this really changes. And like a lot of countries, it's seen as like a sin to gamble. And so the people that are addicted to gambling are sinners and they're terrible, bad people. Whereas in America, we're treating problem gambling as a disease, as a diagnosable disorder. So
Or
that's one thing
degenerate.
to keep in mind for your own sanity, because you're gonna see a lot of comments that are just gonna say you're evil for gambling at all. But it's just the reality of posting online. You get a wide range of responses.
It definitely can be exhausting. And I think what's difficult is a lot of people are like, "How did you stop?" And I've made a video about this too. And I know you have made several about how, like, there's not one way. What works for somebody else might not work for me. What works for me might not work for you. But this is what has worked for me. But it's not like X plus Y equals Z. I wish it was. I think it's just like so many people, a lot of times, because we get those messages like, "I'm on the verge of wanting to commit suicide and stuff." And I'm just like, "I am not licensed. I'm not a therapist. I don't want to give the wrong message. You need to call like the 1-800 gambling help hotline or something."
The way that I kind of look at it is like it's an obvious cry for help, right? Almost without fail. I try to answer anyone that's not a dickhead anyway. So I just try to write back to everyone that I can in my DMs. So I answer them. What I say is the same thing I say to anyone. If you want to get better, it's possible. And here's what I did to get help. And as you said, it's not X plus Y equals Z, but there are certain things that kind of hold true. It's finding things that matter to you. It's keeping yourself busy. It's finding a way to delay urges, to find a way to be prepared ahead of time. And that's where it kind of varies between all of us. But yeah, those messages that come in, they can be really tough. How has it impacted your recovery to get feedback constantly?
I think overall it generally speaking, it's been very good for my recovery as like a reminder, because sometimes I am my own worst enemy and I don't take time to like give myself the pat on the back that I need. And I need to be better at affirming myself. So, you know, sometimes there's obviously the people that are like, you're too early in your recovery to even be talking about this. And I'm just like, okay. I don't deem that to be true, because even though my stop date of betting was on the 25th of May, my thought of wanting to quit came a year before that when I found your videos.
Well, I appreciate that. But, you know, I think there's like a really strong value in being so early in recovery. Like, I think that people are looking for a reason to discredit anyone saying something that they know is true that they don't want to be true. So like they would say, well, you're too early on. For me, they would say, this is why I stopped giving dollar amounts. They'd say, oh, you didn't lose enough money. There's always like a reason why I don't have to listen to you, is what someone would want to say. But I always say that we're most qualified to help the person that we used to be. And so when you're in that first 90 days, and it's the hardest 90 days agreed upon by everyone, that's the first 3 months of trying to stop gambling are the hardest, because that's when your brain's rewiring itself. It's when you're reestablishing habits and patterns. If you're in that 90 days, you can give live coverage almost. You're like a news correspondent on the scene, so to speak. And I think there's an intense value in that that I can't give anymore. I mean, I'm 26 and I was gambling for 6 years, but it's been 2.5 years. And so when people say like, oh, dude, like, I can't stop playing Fliff or Prize Picks, I'm like, what the hell? I never played those things. Like, what are those things? So like being so fresh into recovery, it allows you to offer a unique perspective that I hope people will engage with. And in the description of this video, if you're watching, is going to be the links to all of her socials. So make sure you check those out to get that perspective, especially early on. If you were to give a message to someone that's watching that is a spouse, a fiance, a parent of a problem gambler, what would you want them to know about gambling addiction?
If your partner has come forth to you and has said it to you, that is huge. Obviously, I don't know the ins and outs of your relationship, but be patient and know that your love and support means everything. One thing that my fiance had said to me was that he wanted me to tell my brother, obviously tell my therapist, and have other people to lean on too, just because he's not in the thick of it and can't fully understand it. So a part of my TikToks helped me sort of form this sense of community and other people that I could reach out to and lean on too. You know, he's curious and asking questions and is very present with me. Like if he sees me on my phone doing something, generally I'm on TikTok. He's like, you're not gambling, right? And it's good to have that, because if you're with the right person, they will be your teammate. They want you to be successful and they don't define you as this addiction or this slip. Like even yesterday that when I had the conversation with him about my wedding and the deposit and stuff, and I just broke down over gambling, he said, yeah, that happened, but you're moving forward. You're doing all of the right things. And he's a big walk over big talk type of person. So as long as you see your partner that has the problem doing things to better themselves, like give them a chance. If it's the 80th time and maybe they haven't changed and like they're not willing to get help and it's impacting your day to day tremendously, then go to couples therapy. I don't know.
Yeah, that's a different situation for sure. You're coming up on that halfway point to the 90-day mark. The 90-day mark is where you get a little keychain in Gamblers Anonymous that says, congrats, you made it 90 days. What are your big plans when you get to that point? Do you have content that you're going to put out? Are you going to take a little trip? Does it happen to coincide with the wedding? Like, what's going to be going on by the time you're at that 90-day mark?
So, I guess that'll be at some point in fall. Yeah, so summer will be over. You know, I haven't even thought that far. I'm sure I'll try to celebrate. I'm a big dessert girl, so like maybe like a cake or something.
I always do,
you know?
Cake. I always do
like
a cake.
Just something. I definitely should acknowledge it. Maybe I'll do a video with the cake too. Like continue building on that, because life is so much better without it. I just feel so much more present, even like with nature. Like I feel like I hear the birds chirping more.
It's because you're so listening. Good.
Yeah. Yep.
That's awesome. Well, congratulations on the early sobriety from gambling. Wishing you continued success. And to anyone in the audience that wants to hear another story of someone in recovery, check out this video next. And let's keep getting better together, one day at a time.